So who would like to start with the...
I would.
Dave?
Yeah, so the motion that was passed says that the amount of money that's spent by inquiries by the board shall not exceed the budgeted amount. And I think, was it broken down monthly, Lonnie? Did we say the monthly budgeted amount?
I had pointed out that there is a monthly retainer for not only...
Right, that's right. So the idea was that it shouldn't exceed the retainer. But I think there needs to be something that goes beyond that, because the foundation has needs for legal services, and if the board inquiries have put you past your retainer level, that's a problem. It's essentially taking money above and beyond. And it's also, if foundation expenses have put you beyond your retainer, then you can't ask any questions. So I think we should move that there be a specific amount, a maximum amount allocated for board inquiries. That's the first part. And the second part is that that no board member may participate in inquiries accounting for more than 10% of the budgeted amount.
Dave, can you define a board inquiry?
Yeah, so for example, let us say right now the motion is passed says that three board members can ask counsel any question they want. And when counsel gives the answer, he has to indicate how much it costs to do that. So let us say three board members want to know if the licensing policy that's presently been proposed is legal, or that they say that our proposal to change the bylaws in the following way, is it legal, or, you know, what is your opinion about how we're handling thus and such legal case, or any such thing that board members want the attorney's opinion on. As it stands right now, the policy that's been passed allows any three board members to essentially ask the attorney anything that they want, any legal advice. And so I think that we have to cap the amount of inquiries that, for example, an individual or a small number of board members might make, because it's like an arms race, particularly when these inquiries are part of contention between different factions on the board. They'll keep going back and asking the question, well, what about this? Well, what about that? So the proposal is that we decide amongst ourselves on an amount that should be the max, and maybe Lonnie could make a recommendation given his knowledge of what the foundation is spending out of the retainer on its own activities, totally apart from board member inquiries. We set that cap, and then as a second part to that, we say no board member may participate in inquiries that exceed 10% of the total budget. So if you're one person, you can't be signed on to, you know, dozens and dozens of these different inquiries. Once you've been signed on to things that have used up that amount, that's it. And that will make people self-ration, since the policy as it exists has no form of limitation.
Okay, Dave, can you kind of wrap this up, because it's already we're already at 28
speaking.
Okay. Lonnie?
Well, one way to do it is we have a retainer for, I think, Siegel for $2,500 a month, and that you can look at you assume that each board member has an equal access to the attorney, so that's 22 people, and you take the retainer amount, which is $2,500, so each board member or a group of three would be limited to questions that may cost us no more than $300. That's one way to do it. We also have a legal budget over and above the retainer connected with that particular attorney, Krigler and other folks, Don Mussel, and that budget is around $100,000. If you look at the cost per board member in terms of access to an attorney, that comes out to $4,900 or so a year for each attorney, for the other attorneys. So a board member could not expend more than $4,900 of our budget in a given year asking questions and making queries. That's just one way to do it. Some of these board members should have equal access, and therefore spend no more than other board members on that resource. So that's one way to do it.
Right.
And then if the budget needs to be exceeded, and it will be, for example, in the case of an investigation, then, of course, that would be reported out to the board as any other board expenditure would be reported out, and the board would have to approve of that expenditure because the board itself has a legal budget. And I would report out on it, saying we're going to exceed the budgeted amount. What does the board want to do? So those, I would say that you budget the legal resource as you would any other resource.
Okay. I think Dave was also trying to get at in terms of, but can I just be for a second, Casey, can you just give us an opinion on this whole process that we have thrown out here and that the board has passed on this meeting with attorneys? What is the common practice out here in the industry? Casey, are you there?
Well, I'd like to speak to the same question while she gets back to her phone.
Okay.
Before anybody speaks to it, I want to point out this is what the board passed.
That's what I said.
This is what we're saddled with. And
right.
As has been pointed out, the time is limited to us. So I hope we don't spend too much time decrying what the board did and spend more of our time doing something about it that fixes the problem.
Dave, thank you for your opinion, but thank you. But Casey, can you just let us know what the practice is out there?
I mean, the practice typically is if you need a legal opinion, you tell your executive director that we need a legal opinion. Please get one from the attorney, and you get one back in writing that goes to every single board member. But, I mean, I think it's nuts that board members can just call the attorney and we have to pay for it. But like Dave said, that's what's been done, so figure out how to deal with it.
That was very short, but thank you. That's my opinion too, Casey. But so in terms of how to fix I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
I feel the same way as Casey, and think there may actually be a legal issue here. I mean, the bylaws bar committees from approving or executing any contract or transaction, incurring any indebtedness or whatever on behalf of the foundation or LSB. It seems the system the board set up is just three-person ad hoc committees. And you might ask for a legal opinion on that before they start racking up costs. I mean, the board conducts business on behalf of Pacifica as a body, not as individuals. It's by majority vote.
Mm-hmm.
Being a board member doesn't get you as an individual access to a discretionary budget.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Did someone else want to speak? Because again, you know, in terms of where we're spiraling into trying to fix something that is like kind of difficult to fix. Except in terms of lining positions, that okay, we have a budget, and that's what we have. That's it. But in terms of board behavior, how do you address these? You know, like David suggested, factions that have conflicts and, one going to the attorney and one asking questions. You know, this is just promoting bad behavior. And that, I think that basically we should really invest in a board training and board conduct. And so maybe we won't get these motions that kind of like are regurgitated, the motions that are, we're constantly trying to find ways to fix them in order for them to work. Again, but
Dave.
That's just my opinion. Sure, Dave.
Yeah, this is what the board passed. So as of right now, people can spend up to that amount. So I'm proposing a motion that addresses the current situation as it exists. If somebody wants to make a motion that the Finance Committee recommends reconsideration or any other thing, we can do that. I personally agree with what has been said on this call. I don't like it. And, as chair, I did not enjoy having to preside over something and not hear anybody bring forward a motion in contradiction to it. But this is the situation now. So I want something that limits the amount of money that individual board members or small groups can use up of the foundations. And I think that placing a cap on the total amount and the amount that any individual can be involved in does that.
Okay. So
I would propose two substitute motions. I guess I can't do that.
I just won. Okay, the initial motion, can we hear that?
The initial motion was that the board adopt a specific numerical cap on the total expense, the total monthly expense for board inquiries of counsel. And the second piece of it, the second half, is that no board member may be a signatory to inquiries that exceed more than 10% of that amount.
Okay.
Was that passed there, the 10%?
That's just what I'm proposing here.
Oh, you're proposing.
Yeah.
Okay. And Brian suggested to get a substitute, and that is?
That the committee moves reconsideration of the original motion. But you know what? I don't even know, like, what the vote was or what the vibe was in the room, so maybe you guys should tell me if that's politically feasible.
I can tell you what I think.
Go ahead,
I don't think it's politically feasible. I watched them go ahead and do it, and part of this comes about because of concern about prior situations that we were dealing with where, there was a group on the board that wanted an independent opportunity to pose a question to council rather than have it, because some of it was about relations with the executive director and relative powers. That was one of the genesis of this. And there was a great deal of frustration about the way certain questions got asked and the indirect way in which information was obtained. In our present case, we have proportional representation, and there are a lot of times when people come forth and they say, well, the following thing isn't legal, or, you know, the answer you get depends on the posing of it. So there was a lot of, I thought, consensus that a lot of different people from a lot of different, you know, perspectives on the board wanted to be able to ask questions of counsel. Again, I don't think it's viable that we're going to get a change in this. I do think it's viable that we could get the board to agree to limitations on it.
This is LaVarne. I think that this came out of a political position in terms of, I think it's political decision that this motion, and that I think that it doesn't lend itself to any type of, as Casey's given her opinion, any type of good board practices, and that we're saddled with it. Because, and that I think, you know, I would, you know, if we were able to effectively talk to other board members to say that, to like have them see this point, then perhaps it would happen. But, you know, I think that there's a certain momentum going that where these motions that we're saddled with that are not practical, that we're constantly going through this process to try to fix it so that it will work to some extent, and that we're spending a lot of time on these motions that are not very practical in the first place. That's my opinion.
I have a suggestion.
Sure, go ahead.
Bonnie here. Well, the two principles involved, maybe the language could be that the Finance Committee recommends that all board members shall have equal access to the attorneys, and that in no case shall the budget, the board has spoken, they've created a budget, be exceeded without board permission.
This is Dave.
Sure.
The problem with that is when you say equal, that's fine. So if I've racked up, X amount, what that means is you should be able to rack up X amount as well. So that's why I think, because you can have three members on any inquiry, figuring out a formula by which everybody has equal access is difficult. That's why I just said, okay, on average, if it's 10%, and since it takes three people, you got a 22-person board. If you can be part of 10% of the inquiries, then any large plurality could get it. And I think we should cap it at below the level that we agreed to, which is the retainer amount, because I think that to cap it at the retainer amount means that all of the retainer expenditure could be used up on such inquiries, which I don't think is a good idea. I think we should limit ourselves to a small portion of that total, and people should, by placing a more stringent cap on it and limiting the number of inquiries, people will self-regulate and only use it in cases where it's really important. I mean, just let me give you one example. The people on the programming committee raised a question about whether language in a licensing policy or proposed language was legal or not. And they wanted, there were people who wanted to ask counsel to deal with the fact that some people were blocking the progress of the motion by claiming it wasn't legal to say we were going to consider thus and such. So then an inquiry gets generated, and you spend a certain amount of money. And I was having an argument about this with the person saying, don't validate claims like that by doing this. And I was told this is going to be a more effective way to deal with these complaints, which are stalling the process. That's an example of how it goes. So if you restrict the amount of money to much less than the retainer amount, people will self-regulate. I don't know any other way to make them do it, given what we have before us.
Okay. Any other opinions?
Well, I'll just say that this seems to be a symptom of the board trying to run the organization rather mm-hmm. than letting staff do it. I mean, even when you're asking about questions of, you know, language in a policy, typically, you know, your staff would bring you a policy, you'd review it. If you have questions, you'd say, we're going to approve this, but first we want you to make sure, run this by council and make sure this one thing's okay. But, it seems to me that there are 25 executive directors and 25 mm-hmm. chief financial officers, and we're paying all of them.
Yeah.
This is nuts.
It is insane. I agree. Brian?
That I really appreciate what you're trying to do in terms of reining it in, Dave. I just can't vote for it because the system is so screwed up to start with, and I understand that's not your fault.
Do we want to mull
it over until Monday.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, too. And then perhaps we can get a better language on it also.
I'd like a financial impact on the cost of your time for raising it again and the additional telephone time on Monday that we will spend talking about it.
I think we've discussed it enough. We can just vote, but it's 7:42 right now. So would you like to vote on this now?
I was being facetious.
It
just came up. If people want to contemplate a little bit more, but it really needs to be taken seriously. It's not something we can just avoid.
Well, perhaps we should send out what the original motion is, so everyone can make sure everyone has the language
idea.
Of the original motion.
Good idea.
Okay.
And then I'll be happy to respond by email, so we'll have something for Monday.
Okay.
I'm almost not joking when I say you might want to get a legal opinion on under our bylaws, board members being able to rack up expenses like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
You know, right. How can we keep board members from making my income higher?
Well, the bottom,
which, you know, but, you know, I think our attorneys will speak to it truthfully, but, yeah, it's kind of that question. Go ahead.
How can you? But the bylaws say committees can't do it. Why can individual board members do it?
Yeah. Okay. So on Monday, there are a couple of things. The number one thing that we want to do is the network budgets, the draft budgets. The other, we're going to get some language on the original motion on contacting attorneys, and we'll go over, consider the motion from Dave. We will, Brian is going to do a draft on the bylaws meeting. Oh, very good. And Lonnie is going to do a cost breakdown for the New York, LA, and including the technical headcount. And let's see, the other
language on financial impact statement.
Right, the big one, yeah, the financial impact statement. The financial impact of the motion on the financial impact of these various motions that have come forward without structure, without financial impact or anything. And so that's great. So I certainly, are there any other questions? New business we had on here, is there something, Dave, you wanted to consider something, or shall we move that to Monday also? I think it's actually 7:40. My computer is fast. Should we move that to Monday, new business? Okay, we'll do that. Hello? Yes?
Yes, for me.
Okay. All right, then. Are there any other issues, actions we need to address? So, Ben, I certainly appreciate everyone's input today and participation in the meeting.
I want to raise something I'm going to raise in new business next week, which is when we have tried to generate locally produced income statements, one of the things we always hear is we can't do it locally because some of our expenses are paid nationally, and I want to propose that we take the things in our budgets that are part of the local budgets but are paid by national and move them into separate budget lines so you can actually see those things separately. And I just want to put that out there so people are aware of the idea. Okay?
There's lots of static going on here. Okay, then, well, again, I would like to thank everyone for being on the call, and we will convene again on Monday, July the 17th at 5 p.m. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, good night.
Hello.
All right.